Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, episode 98. We're getting near that 100. You know, I have nothing planned, just so you all know. But we are getting there. Today with me, I have Andy Jarvis. He is an expert in marketing strategy. He's from Ireland. Great weather, by the way. And I read on his about page that, well, that would make sense because it said one of the summers he couldn't barbecue, so we created a marketing agency. And I was thinking, like, wow, you'd have to really, I don't know, like, why would you do that? But then, you know, when you think Ireland and it's raining all the time, so yeah. It makes sense. Like, you had to do something with yourself. You had to stay inside, too. Because I was like, you know, if I couldn't barbecue, there's a lot of things I could do that would be easier on myself and on my life than starting a business.
Well, I take my barbecuing very seriously. So when I can't barbecue, I have to come away from that and take something else very seriously. I have to focus my energy. So the agency was what came out of that.
Yeah, but the thing with barbecue, it's like, okay, you can mess that up once, but it doesn't have the ups and downs of running a business. Like, it doesn't have the, it doesn't take that long, you know, like a barbecue. It's like a, you know, it's an afternoon thing. It's not something that you're kind of like, oh man.
There's got to be a blog somewhere in here about you know, if you don't turn things over often enough, it gets burnt, and if you put it on the wrong shelf, it maybe cooks too quickly, and maybe there's some sort of analogy into an agency relationship with a client there. I'm going to work that up, and if I do post it as a blog, I'll let you know as soon as I can.
Yeah, let me know. That'd be interesting. So the business has been open for a year.
One year, yes. Celebrate our one-year anniversary on the 1st of September. So it's been fascinating and interesting, and I think in that year you learn a lot about yourself, a lot about business, a lot about clients, but it's been brilliant. It's been really, really good so far.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, it's still a baby, but how's it going right now?
You know, really, really well. I think if I sat down and looked at my plan, which I did recently, of what I thought I would do in my first year, and then compared it to what I am actually doing, they don't look anything alike. They still have the overarching goal, you know, marketing strategy is still the thing that I do. But I thought I would have been doing maybe a lot more training, a lot more workshops, and the demand has actually been in slightly different areas in strategizing with clients, problem solving, and looking at some ongoing relationships there. So it's slightly different, much less training than I thought, and moving into some different areas which I probably didn't have planned. But yeah, so I've, you know, I've really enjoyed it. You spend a lot of time when you first start out running an agency and it's just you, up late at night, early in the morning, talking to everybody, pitching for everything, and then realizing pretty quickly, actually, keep the focus. And that lesson's really important to learn.
Can you walk me through a couple of these examples of how you decided which way to pivot? Because I think that would help some of the listeners, you know, especially if they're, I don't have that many people starting new businesses, but if they are, I think it'd be interesting to them.
Yeah, well, a company I worked with, I was talking to the finance director. I can't give you the company name, but the finance director said something brilliant. This was only a couple of months ago, but it was really, really brilliant. We were talking about planning some numbers for an innovation project, which is kind of happening down the line. And he said to me, he said, the only thing I know about these numbers is they're going to be wrong. Yeah. And it was a really interesting way of looking at that planning process. And, you know, he wasn't criticizing anyone. We were saying, look, you know, these are projections and we know they're going to be wrong. So you have to have the mindset to embrace that and embrace when you're perhaps barking up the wrong tree or when you're moving along. So I set off with an idea of a training course that I'd run in a previous agency and plan to continue to run that course or a variation of it when I started up on my own. One of the things that I found is while I was the face of that course previously, because I didn't have the big brand of my previous agency around it, and the maybe the safety and the consideration that working for the big agency had, it was a much, much tougher sell. So when I looked at how long it was taking me to sell the product, the feedback I was getting for it, you then have to have a real clear look at that and say, right, well, do I listen to what the market's telling me, or do I continue to push on with this product because I believe it's right? Now, fundamentally, I still think it's the right product. It was a kind of a four-month-long training course. So people came once a month for 4 months, and it didn't just help them create a marketing strategy. I took them through the process of how to do it so that they could repeat it for different parts of their business if they needed to. So I still think it's an important thing to be able to teach people and to be able to help them with, but it wasn't taking off. Now, my view was I can spend a lot of time trying to get it to take off, or I can spend my time looking at other areas where I'm getting requests in and people are coming to talk to me about. So, you know, it was just a case of the very pragmatic and staying close to the numbers and always asking for feedback. I think that was the key thing. When it came to talking to people who said no, I always phoned them back and said, look, appreciate why you say no. Can you just explain to me the reasons why? And, you know, I'm not so we can have a go and not so we can fall out about it, just so I can learn. And people, when you position it right, usually happy to give you honest feedback. And that really helped to understand that maybe the product's right, the timing's wrong, the brand's not right just yet, they don't have the confidence in it. So kind of moved and evolved that way. But that feedback loop was probably the most important part of that.
So what's the big push now? Because I see a couple services and I see courses. Well, what's your big push in the next 6-7 months?
Yeah, so the overarching, so there was three areas of the business. Was working directly with clients, creating marketing strategies and solving marketing problems, running courses to help people understand how to do this for themselves, and, you know, speaking at events and conferences and that type of thing. So the conference thing's still going ahead, which is great. Really excited to be speaking at Search Love London next month. That's probably one of the bigger conferences, probably the biggest I've done so far. So, you know, that side of the business is going quite well. The courses side is taking a bit of that's taking a back seat. They're still there. They're still open. People want to inquire and talk to me about them, but that's taking a back seat. And what I've really majored on for the next 6 months is working directly with clients. But some of them, that's looking at an overarching marketing strategy. And with others, it's sort of problem solving and troubleshooting for them. And what you find when you work with marketing teams, whether that's digital teams, traditional teams, you know, big SEO teams, is that the business as usual takes up quite a lot of time. In fact, most of their time, if not more than 100% of their time, just doing everything they need to do. And having time and space to step back and look at problems in a different way is something that they're struggling with. So what I do with those slightly bigger teams is come in and provide that third-party viewpoint, ask the questions that they may be too close to the problem to ask, turn over a few rocks, talk to some people, bring in different viewpoints from around the business, and try and understand actually what's the root cause of the problem. Because often in many businesses, what people think is the problem isn't the problem. So when you start turning, you know, kicking over the stones and seeing what's underneath there, you start to get to the root of the problem. Then you help find the solution, and in some cases provide some training to help that land, or in some cases they've already got it, so you just have to, you know, provide them with a solution or help them find the solution, and then, you know, that's kind of the end of the engagement. So I think the main part of what I do is ask questions, and I enjoy that. It's really good to do, and it's great fun.
So it seems you went from courses to client work, and that comes with its own problems too. You know, I deal with clients in a couple businesses now, and you know, it's dealing with people, right? It's you know, it's not easy to grow a team that will take care of the clients as good as you. There are a lot of obstacles, right, to really grow something when it comes to clients.
Yeah, and I think one of the things in the early days, one decision I took as I started to look at scaling this client work, and I work on quite a diverse number of projects, so I wouldn't be an industry specialist. I'm not a specialist in a particular niche industry. The way I look at marketing strategy is that the strategic process in the experience of working across a number of industries is broadly the same. It's only once you get to actually creating the strategy and delivering the tactics that it starts to vary by industry quite markedly. But the beginning, the first bit of that asking the questions is broadly the same. You ask the kickoff questions and then you go where the information takes you. But what that means is that I need to tap into specialists in different areas. So I took a decision quite early on not to recruit too many. So there's only 1.5 people full-time effectively at the agency. Tap into subject experts or consultant experts in certain areas to scale up to do projects. So that means bringing in experts in a certain industry or experts in a certain sector or people with certain tactical skills, depending on what we're looking at. That in itself brings in more problems because you've got to trust the people you're working with, making sure everyone's pulling on the same project in the same direction. They've probably got other competing client work that's going on at the same time, but you want them to focus on the project that you're on. So, there's a lot of different issues in there about trying to pull the right project team together to work on the project for the client within the budget that you've been set, keeping everybody focused and then kind of reviewing it at the end when they just want to move on to the next project. So, don't get me wrong, it comes with its challenges. It has huge benefits as well in keeping your overheads low, but it is something that you've got to keep an eye on because it means you're spinning lots more plates a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's the main thing, spinning plates. Eventually, some start falling down.
Like you said,
there's a lot of benefits too. And I mean, eventually you get to a point where the team is on the same page, but I just, over the businesses I've run, I realized that dealing with clients, getting that team to really work well, and the clients being happy to actually talk to the team, not, because most of them just want to talk to you, right? Because, you're the guy.
You're the face of the business. Yeah.
So it's, I just see it as a challenge, right? That's one of the things.
It is. And I think one of the other big challenges, so I work with a guy, he's a consultant called Ben Drury, who calls himself the culture guy. And Ben's fantastic. And I used to work with him over a decade ago. And once a month, we have a phone call now where we both work in a similar sort of model. And one of the hardest things to do sometimes is to think about the future of the business and the strategy and the direction, and you don't have anybody to bounce off. So Ben and I kind of provide that role for each other. He'll act as my chairman almost for 15 minutes of the call. Then I'll act as his chairman for 15 minutes of the call and just kind of quiz each other and make sure we're trying to make the right decisions. But one of the things that I was challenged on and really got me thinking is with this model I have, there's a tendency to keep going back to working with the same people. You know they're on the same page as you. They get what you're trying to do. You know they can deliver. But when you need a subject expert, you start to look and go, well, this person is an expert in that subject. It's not 100% right, but I know they'll work really well. And then there's somebody else who you know is 100% subject expert, but you haven't worked with. And the comfort zone thing takes you back to the same person all the time. But actually, the expertise thing might move you to a different person. And you've got to be really aware of picking the right person for the right project, not just the person you know. But at the same point, if you bring in somebody new, you're back to square one and you've got to hope that they can deliver, that they'll be able to get on board and buy into what you're doing. So having that person to bounce those issues and those challenges off is really, really important. And if you're doing this yourself, find somebody you can trust who you can just talk to in an open way and say, right, I'm thinking about this, I'm having a problem with this, or this isn't working, and get them to ask you the questions so you can start to work through that process.
How do you pitch marketing services to a business? Because it's one of these things that I think of. Most business owners probably think about New Year's Eve. They get a new gym membership, they go on a diet, and they start a new marketing strategy.
So New Year's Eve, maybe April, when the new budgets come out in some bigger companies. And yeah, it is a little bit like that. And a lot of companies, marketing, I always think, is one of those things that everybody thinks they can do. And to an extent, there's probably elements of marketing that anybody can do. We're not building ships to go into space, right?
Depends which business you're helping.
This is true. It depends on with Tesla or someone. But there is part of this that actually needs expertise that needs an understanding of what marketing is and what it isn't, and you know, that market orientation. And because there's a misunderstanding of what marketing is in a lot of places, you know, you hear phrases like, can you market this event for me? I go, what do you mean? Do you mean promote the event? Yeah, market it. Or, you know, we've got a marketing thing going out on TV tonight. Do you mean you've got an advertising campaign going out? There's a misunderstanding of what marketing is. So because everybody thinks it's advertising or they think it's social media, so when you pitch, there's often there's a time to do the re-education piece. And I think, if I'm being honest, one of the things that I did wrong in the early days was trying to re-educate clients during the pitch process. You know, you're wrong. You don't know what marketing is. This is what it is, and this is why you should pay me. You know, it's clear you don't know what it is, so bring me in.
Right.
In a nice way. But, you know, you don't really win many arguments by telling people that they're stupid and you know more than them. So I've kind of refined that approach and based it on solving problems for the client. And, you know, in the end, marketing is, you know, the clue's in the name. It's about the market. And I think if you can start to make people understand that you are looking at what the market wants and taking that product or service to the market, finding out what the market finds interesting about you and taking that to them. So that's at the core of what I do. And focusing on solving problems for clients is really how I pitch, you know, pitch the issue.
Can you give an example of that, something like, where we can visualize what you actually bring to a company? Because it's interesting to me. You know, when I think of marketing strategy, it's something we do every couple of weeks with the team. You know, so I'm just curious, what do you bring to the actual company?
Yeah, so it can be different things in different places. And I'll give you an example. So, because every company's in a different place in their journey. So some companies are, you know, have a marketing strategy and maybe struggling to implement it properly. Some companies are, you know, just starting out and need help in different ways. And others have got particular challenges that have maybe been thrown up in a strategic process that's being done by an offsite by the board. But one of the clients I worked with in my early days makes horse riding protection gear. So the vests, safety vests you have to wear in case you fall off a horse, it protects your torso. Various factors about this, but it's actually a fantastic product in by safety standards. If you go through the tests, it's the best performing product on the market. It isn't, however, the best selling product on the market. So the plan was to come in with an SEO strategy, so it appeared higher up search terms and therefore would sell more products. As we were doing the research for that with the client, what became clear was, I think they were focusing on the wrong things. They were trying to bang the wrong drum. They were talking about the price being not too expensive and being quite, you know, sort of right in the middle of where it needed to be price-wise. And when you start to look and investigate and talk to people in the market and research what their customers were looking for and asking for, price wasn't the main factor. You know, if you fall off a horse, it can have really serious life-changing implications for you. The main thing that people worry about is safety. So you have to look at the messaging about safety and see how you can put that front and center. So what initially started out as an SEO project, we still needed to deliver an SEO strategy to get them higher up in the rankings. But if they're talking about the wrong things, that in itself isn't going to deliver any more sales. So we've started to implement changes in the promotional messaging about safety, about the returns policy and how safe it is and how you can try it and use it and learn to love it before you, you know, and you can still return it. So it's been a real change for them in the messaging, which started off as a technical issue with an SEO project. So what that taught me and what that tells us is that the process is that you can't just look at these issues in isolation. You may have an SEO issue, you may have a PPC issue, you may have a social media issue, you might have a website issue, but you need to take a step back and look at everything as a whole, because if one part of your marketing matrix is out, it doesn't matter if you fix that particular problem, you're not going to sell more products. So that was kind of one of the early projects I worked on, which was quite a small company, but you know, interesting to work on and really good to get my teeth stuck into.
Okay, so you went from it being an SEO project to being a copywriting project with some market research.
I suppose you could frame it that way. Yeah, it was. The research came back and told us that that's what people were looking for. That started with SEO research, moved into some more you know, talking to customers type research. The budget wasn't huge, so it didn't involve, you know, it was about picking up the right customers and talking to as many people as we could, and starting to build a more rounded picture of what we were looking at. So it kind of finished as a copywriting project, but I think what was important first was understanding that the direction that the company needed to go in was to really bang the drum for the safety message, because that was important, really important to what the customers were looking for. And that then influences, well, what words and phrases do we need to target for SEO? How does the copy look? Where are we going to promote this? What forums do we talk about this on? Do we try and get this into different magazines and different articles? So it really started to impact the whole promotional mix of what the company did. So it was, as I said, it was an interesting project to work on, and the kind of the benefits are just starting to roll through now because it's a seasonal product. So the you know, it's about keeping an eye on it now over the number of years to that hope that sales track up from here on in.
Can you give one more example? Because I would like to see just how diverse this is. What do you do? Because, yeah, this seems like a bit of a market research, and you just point the company in a different direction. It's probably a little different than what some business people think of a marketing strategy expert. So that's why I'm just curious.
It's trying to put my head around which ones I can talk about, throw out into the
Well, you don't
open.
Need to name the company, just the actual idea of what happened.
I think there's different projects within there. So one, there's another startup, but bizarrely, two of these companies are actually quite small and startups, and I don't work with many startups, but there's a startup I'm working with at the minute in Ireland. They're based down in the southwest of Ireland, and they have a product which is coming to market fairly soon, which is aimed at the sort of new parent market. And what they had effectively was a site that had been built and an app that had been developed out of an idea that they'd had. And then they came and said, can you market this for us? Well, it was broadly the, you know, caricaturing the discussion. Can you market this for us? And you start thinking, okay, we need to go through a process. And that's kind of the thing that I do, is take people through a process and ask them this 7 questions in a stepped process to say, right, let's go through this. Let's understand who we're targeting, why anyone cares about your product, what are the competitors doing, what does the industry look like, and walk people through this process all the way. And what we came to at the end, and so we're pre-launch at the moment, but what that's done is it's really affected the MVP that they're building of the product, the target, how we're going to change, how we're going to target the users, and the messaging that we're going to use to take to them. Plus, there's the other side. They have a two-legs business model, as I call it. They're trying to recruit consumers to use the product and businesses to sign up at the other end. So that's provided another challenge in that we've had to then look at what problem does this product solve for the providers, the people selling services via the product? And that needs a whole different go-to-market strategy. But both have to be timed together, because you can't have people using the app without anybody signed up to it, and you can't have people selling services without anybody using it. So that's been like a two-pronged challenge to take on. But it all starts with this same 7-step process of understanding what does your product do, who does it do it for, and why should anybody care about what you're doing? And that's often a quite a difficult question to ask business owners and people who work, and they say, why does anybody care? Because that's, you know, you work there every day, you live it, you breathe it, and you know, some say, well, why does anybody care about what you do? So that's probably the key bit of what I do, and probably the most enjoyable bit, to be honest.
If you had 30 seconds with a business owner, what's the most difficult question that you would ask them in that 30 seconds to make them think about their business?
To make them think about their business. So I would probably say to them, what problem do you solve for your customers?
That's a very good question.
And I would throw it at them in that way, because if you ask people, if you say, what does your business do? They will say, oh, I do this, I sell iPhones, I do new tires for cars, or, you know, whatever it is that they do. You say, what problems do you solve for people? And that, often when you ask them that question, you get silence. And then you get a few ums and ahs, and then you're, right, okay. Well, we maybe do this, and we maybe do a little bit of that. what I find is that once, if you spend 10 minutes in a meeting with business owners, they get to the point really quickly. But at first, it can take a little bit of time to get going. That's probably the question I'd ask. What problems do you solve for your customers?
Yeah, because, you know, when you answer that question, you can easily figure out how to frame whatever you're selling, what to write on the sales page, what to write on the ads. There's a lot of things that can come out of asking yourself this one question.
Yeah. So I have a long and diverse background in marketing. I started doing mail shots and moved into emails, and I've done all sorts. I feel like I've done a bit of everything. But one thing that hasn't seemed to have changed over the last 20 years or so is everybody, and I include myself in this, almost everybody is pretty much awful at writing copy for marketing. And we have this obsession with talking about features. You know, this has more shiny things than the next thing. We've got more knobs and whistles than something else. Or look at our product. It's got more buttons than the next best product. And that is a symptom of not asking that question. What problem do you solve for your customers? Now, if you ask that question and you understand, you know, the number of buttons on a product has never solved the problem for somebody, you know, but they, the ability to be able to call a relative quickly or turn the TV over or whatever it is, once you start to understand those problems you're solving, the advantages you're helping for people or the benefit to their life, then you can start writing really compelling copy, and you can start writing, you know, whether that's email copy, whether that's social copy, blogs, ad campaigns, billboards. You start with the benefits. You know, I talk about features, advantages, and benefits, FAB. The advertising industry has been using this since the 60s, if not before. Features, advantages, benefits, but then you tell the story, benefits, advantages, features. So you always start with the benefit. Well, how's it going to make your life better? Tell them the advantage and tell them the feature. So, you know, you might say your family life will have a healthier family because our vacuum cleaner gets the allergens out of the carpet because it's got 400 watts of suction. You know, you finish with the feature. So you tell people that you'll make their life better, why and how. It kind of leans into a little bit of the start with why that Simon Sinek talks about, a little bit of the chimp paradox and kind of how the brain works. But really, it's about getting to that, and that's the question I tend to ask. What problem do you solve for your customers? And that starts that process of getting there.
I love it. I think that's a good way to finish this episode. Andy, thanks. Where can people find you?
They can find me online, eximomarketingstrategy.com. Eximo is E-X-I-M-O. And you'll find me at Eximo Marketing on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you stick in it, you'll see me. And it's Andy with an I, which is why you usually find me quite easily.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem at all. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.